Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Wednesday night. Amen. So, I know these are the faithful. We've been, I'm just going to continue what we've kind of been doing in the youth. So the youth are here tonight. So they already have heard some of the stuff. My wife has heard it many times. And she, I told her what I was going to talk about. And she I kind of caved. And I'm not going to talk exactly about what it was before, but still to some degree. Because I think she did point out, so something that I just realized when. Okay. Thank you, Brother Greeley. Thank you. Thanks for answering the call of God on your life. We have a great church here. Just for a man hearing the voice of God and obeying. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. To the youth, what's Hebrews chapter 11 about? The hall of faith. So, as I've been telling them, you do not take a new person to the book of Hebrews. You don't take, atheist or someone that has no clue about the Bible, you don't probably start them in the book of Hebrews. It's very complex. In fact, Hebrews 11 is a pretty exciting chapter, but the preceding chapters, you really, really got to know the Bible very well to even understand what it's talking about. So it's going to make for difficult explaining to people that don't know anything about the Bible. But Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. Those were Jews that became Christians. So whoever wrote this book, they wrote it back to people that had a very, very solid understanding of the Old Testament. It'd be very similar to Matt talking to Matt, the missionary to Israel right now. He is converting Jews to Christianity now. And so he could probably take them straight to Hebrews. And that would make sense to them because they have a very strong understanding of the Old Testament. That's what we're going to go to, Hebrews chapter 11. So we'll just pray. Jesus, Lord, I pray you just help us, Lord Jesus, open our understanding of the scriptures, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us just remember things, Lord, that you spoke to us in the past, Lord, or things that you taught us in the past, Lord, that would help just propel us, Lord, into the future, Lord, hanging on to the promises, Lord, that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a lot of them, it's just one line, sometimes two or three lines, going back to many, many chapters in the Old Testament, just summing it up in one line. That's why I say it's very hard to take a new convert or someone with no understanding of the Old Testament and take them to the book of Hebrews, because you'd have a lot of explaining to do. You might as well just start in the Old Testament and before you get here. Now, verse 11, or chapter 1, I really do like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's what it's talking about, but it's going to have a whole chapter explaining the process. So, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many people say they hope for stuff. You hear people, they have plans, they think God's going to bless them and all this stuff, and then you look at their actions and doesn't look anything like what you see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's like, you really believe God's going to bless that? Like, you're not even doing, your feet are not following what's coming out of your mouth. Like, you're doing all kinds of things that the Bible would tell you not to do, and you expect God to honor your prayers. There's certain things that God just, he cannot refrain himself. He can't help but bless you if you're following the word of God. But if you are not following the word of God, God just cannot bless sin. He can't do it. So it's worth digging out of the scriptures so you can walk accordingly. But that all takes faith. All of this takes faith. The only reason you follow the Bible, you dig out in the scriptures what thus saith the Lord, to help you walk accordingly to what the scriptures say, because it takes faith to believe it makes a difference. For verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So all the people in the Old Testament, well, at least the majority of people in the Old Testament, especially the ones it's going to sum up here in Hebrews 11, they all obtained a good report through faith. Through faith, we understand the world's refrained by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Much different than the Big Bang Theory, which they believe that everything came from something else that already did appear. It takes faith to believe God just spoke it into existence with nothing. There was nothing there, just God's word, and that made it. That takes faith. And it's hard for a scientist to prove it with stuff that you have to touch, see, feel, hear, like your five senses have to be able to wrap around in order for you to understand it. Well, faith is hard to explain that. Even if a God works a miracle, the scientists are going to come behind and explain scientifically how that happened. If the demon gets cast out of someone and they start to live a normal life and a life pleasing to the Lord, there'll be some scientists that'll explain, well, there was some stuff that happened in the synapses in their brain and different chemical reactions. And they'll have all their scientific explanations because they don't have faith. I mean, there's maybe some do, but the ones that are trying to tear it apart, they do not want to have to believe the Bible. It is funny how when God works a miracle, I'm sure it's not just in my life, but probably most people here can vouch that when God works a miracle in your life, the devil has a way of over time you start to re-remember the events and start to think that maybe it wasn't as much of a miracle. It was just happen chance. It probably would happen anyways. But that's the devil. The devil would like you to believe that none of this stuff is real and that. But that's why it's important to remember when you're in your trial, things that God has done for you in the past, and sing praises to the Lord. You got to remember the goodness of God, and it helps you remember that God, if He did it before, He's going to do it again. Praise God. Amen. Now, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So by his faith, Abel is still speaking to us to this day. What exactly does that mean? He did what was right. And God blessed him. God accepted his sacrifice. There's so many people here. They are in the church and outside the church. They all want to be successful. They all want their lives to make an impact. They all want to make this world a better place. And they're all going about it their own ways. But Cain and Abel, they had their way. They were trying to be impactful. I'm sure they didn't want to just live just a normal life. They wanted to do they wanted to do something. And they wanted to do something that pleased the Lord. Well, Abel did it the way his parents had told him. And Cain did it his own way. And in the end, God blessed Abel, and Cain was wroth. And I'm sure the Bible doesn't say a whole lot, but I'm sure the way God responded to him, that it was probably other times in his life that it was apparent that God's blessing was upon Abel and not upon Cain. Because God was saying, like, look, if you do well, like, wouldn't you expect God to accept you? Like, just do the right thing and you'll get blessed. You can't get blessed by not doing it the way you're supposed to. And so many people, they get mad when they build their whole life with their own plan, their own ingenuity. They spend great time going through the details of how it's going to work. And then when they see someone else that is not as smart as them, is not as dedicated as them, or as far as whatever, that's not outworking them, not working 100 hours a week or 100 more hours a week, and that it makes them get very upset when they still seem to do all right, and they are not, it just doesn't make any sense. But the person that is totally dependent upon his own intellect, his own wisdom, his own understanding, is equating God out of the equation. And people that are in the church, people that serve God, they just believe that no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to do everything, we're going to have to depend on God. Because we'll do our best, but we trust God to do the rest. Because we know you need God to help open the doors. You can't try to do it all yourself. And so there's always going to, and that's it, it we if it goes in the book of John, it says, and wherefore slew he him? Because Cain's works were wicked and Abel's were righteous. So marvel not, the world hates you because it hated him. So when you do the right thing and God's blessings are upon you, there's going to be people that are going to be haters. I don't know if anyone here could, can I get a witness? Anyone ever notice there's some people that just do not like to see you succeed? Because they know, you just know whatever something comes out of their mouth is probably not going to be good about you. Unfortunately, you can pray for them and just God bless you. But you just know that no matter what they say, they're usually a naysayer. And the truth is they are jealous of the favor of God on your life. But that's Cain and Abel. So Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So when the youth, I could ask him, and it is very interesting. Some very understood stories, sometimes they're getting good understanding. Praise God. Amen. But Enoch went straight to heaven. There's only one other person in the Old Testament that didn't die, went straight to heaven. Anyone remember? There's one other person. Well, and then they did see Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he did die first. But some people figure that he was still accepted in heaven after because he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah. That was the other one that didn't see death. Praise God. But now, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards you for diligently seeking him. You have to believe that. You have to. You can't just believe in God. We're in a world that believes that, oh, I believe in God. And that they think that's enough to make you a good person. Because in this day and age, if you believe in God, you're still going to cause a little bit of opposition just for believing in God. People are going to come out against you. And so people think, well, I believe in God, so that's a good step. Well, not really. It's good, but the devil also believes in God. So you got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. So one man's faith, from what that says there, I don't think I'm adding to the scripture, but it says that by which he condemned the world. Because he believed God and he built an ark, it allowed God to condemn the rest of the world. Just think about that. Because one man's obedience, other people ended up being lost. God's faithful. He was trying to save the whole world. Noah's still preaching to everyone, even though they thought he was crazy, a nutcase. But it was God's mercy, really, trying to reach out for them. Because maybe they're not spiritual enough to hear whatever Noah's hearing, but at least God sent a preacher to preach to them. So they're without excuse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which afterward he should receive for an inheritance. I just remembered. So the youth are actually going to get to go see Noah's Ark. So I'm really excited about this. Patrick said he was just there. Did you go with some of your grandkids or? Okay. I remember the first time Jared went there. He was brand new to church, and it's a shock. You're just thinking because God would really just. So many people died. That's Noah's Ark makes they talk about all the old world died. And it's really hard to, a loving God, how could a loving God let all those people die? And it's really hard to understand. My mom ended up coming with us again the next time, and she had the same reaction as Jared. How could God, a loving God, just let everyone die? But it's just a thought. Why would God put that in the Bible? And God puts that right away in the first couple chapters of the Bible. So it's a thought that God wants to challenge people when they first start reading the Bible, that a just God, a loving God, literally could destroy majority of humanity. And at first I was trying to talk about the love of God, and then I was just like with Jared and then with my mom, I just no, God purposely put that in the Bible right away. God does not hide it. He wants to let you know there's going to be a judgment day. There's no way around it. That there is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Every single, it says, every idle word spoken, we're going to have to give account for. This is Jesus, the same loving Jesus who died to save us, is also warning us that there's a judgment that is coming. People do not understand. Behold the goodness and severity of God. It's not something to play lightly with. Every idle word. I don't think there's anyone in here that doesn't get a little bit of nervousness when you hear about that. Sometimes when you're talking and you realize you're running your mouth, saying some stuff. My wife is very good about at least reminding me when I'm just talking about stuff I probably just need to stop. When I'm like, especially in the business world, talking to people, trying to work out deals and stuff, and say I'm a salesman, so she's pretty good about getting me to be quiet, because I, at some point, I start saying a bunch of stuff I shouldn't say, and then I'll try to honor it and do what I told him, and then I'm losing money because I gave away the farm. So, and I did that for a lot of years, and when we were first married, praise God, God got me through it. Amen. Because the devil would then beat me up. It's like, well, I did tell him I don't want to be a liar and all this stuff. So, but God got me through it. Amen. You don't want to be a liar. I'm just telling you, you do not want to be a liar. So that's sometimes you'll sign yourself up for a lot of stuff. Your mouth will be writing checks that you're not really understanding what your feet are going to have to cash. But it's better to go ahead and do it no matter how difficult it is. And just trust that God will bless you. That's what faith is. God is going, it's going to make a difference. It's just you and God that knows. Amen. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through a trial in between. Amen. Sometimes that is just to teach you to stop running your mouth. Amen. A lot of people need that lesson. I still need that lesson. So, amen. Okay. Now, by faith, if we can put up that slide. I did give him one slide, Andre. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. Because that's what it says there. We talked about this in youth. Like, did you know Abraham lived with Isaac and Jacob? That, well, you can see it on the timeline there. But can you imagine? A lot of times you think it's like so many years in between. But both Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had that they were going to receive the promised land. God first gave the promise to Abraham before Isaac ever existed, before Jacob was ever even thought of. But they got to hear their grandpa talk about the promises that God had made him. I mean, Jacob got to hear that. That is really awesome. How much do you think that shaped Jacob's life? His whole, I mean, when you're young, you're very impressionable. But to sit there and just sit at the feet of Abraham talking about how God had visited him before he went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God, Abraham had pleaded. All these stories that he got to pass down to his grandkid. Just, I'm sure that was very foundational for Jacob's future. Amen. Then you had Isaac, and Isaac, verse 10, so you had Isaac was born right after Rebekah died. Remember, Abraham thought it was good for Isaac to find a wife because his mom had just died. And then, then you have Esau and Jacob, the twins were born. Anyways, you guys can see there, they all lived together for a little while. Okay, so now verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands by the seashore innumerable. So the same promise that was given to Abraham now came to Isaac. These all died in faith, having received, not having received these promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for he hath prepared for them a city. So, truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they had opportunity to go back. I mean, God called Abraham out of the land of Ur, out of the Chaldeans, and he was just wandering around for a place for inheritance for his descendants. And I'm sure sometimes he got a little wary. He could have probably went back home at any point, and he didn't. Because there was enough evidence that God was with him. He had seen enough. He knew that the Lord was with him. God had answered so many prayers that even though he started to recognize this calling that God had placed upon his life was much bigger than what he was going to see in his lifetime. And I think everyone here probably at some point will realize what the calling that God has placed upon your life is far greater than what you're probably going to get to see and some of the things that God speaks to you may be much bigger than what you can really wrap your mind around. So I'm sure, I know pastors talked about that God was going to duplicate here in our church what was in Heritage, and I think we're getting pretty close to that. But I'm sure, I think a lot of pastors mentioned other times the things that even bigger than that, and I'm sure he still is very much persuaded in them. But he probably also realizes some of this stuff may be other stuff that's going to be people going out from this church, people that are going to be builders in the kingdom of God. But the youth group, that some of the youth are going to go be builders in the kingdom of God. This great harvest, this great revival that God is going to send to Connecticut, that God is going to use this church to do it. And it's not going to just be housed in this building, praise God. Amen. God is calling people here. Amen. 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 Okay. Now, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he's tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So what's interesting is Abraham actually had a few kids, but it says that accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the like figure. Now in verse 17 it says that he is his only begotten son. That's what it says to Abraham, even though he had Ishmael and he had actually other ones outside of even what's listed there. But God only recognized Isaac as the child of promise. So God went, the thing is, Abraham knew the voice of God. And Abraham knew that God told him to offer up Isaac. So it says that accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in the like figure. He knew, even though there was not any scripture at this point of anyone ever being resurrected from the dead, Abraham knew that God's going to have to resurrect my son because he's not going to be able to have another son, and that God's going to raise up a different son, and then that's going to be the promise of Abraham. No, because God already said through Isaac is all the earth going to be blessed. So, well, through his seed, which actually ends up being Christ when you follow the genealogy through. He's being tempted on his understanding of God. Can God tell a lie? Can God tell a lie? But I'm sure this caused some internal struggles in Abraham. He's like, God, I've been working so hard trying to teach him everything. Remember, God, part of the thing that he told when they said, should we hide from Abraham what we're about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? And he says, no, because I know he's going to command his household everything I've instructed him. So God judged Abraham. He's going to command his house. He's going to teach him everything that I've instilled in Abraham. He's going to pass it down to his household. So he's been working so hard to make sure that everything that God has taught him, he is passing on to Isaac, and now God's asking him to go sacrifice him. I'm sure that was a struggle that none of us can really even fully understand. But I'll tell you, If God did it in Abraham, I wouldn't be surprised if in your life you know you've heard from God, but yet there's going to be some stuff to, the devil's really going to come and try you. And God's going to allow it to happen, just like he allowed this to happen to Abraham. And it's really to try you. Did God really call you? Did God really tell you this? Did God really say that? And it's just you and God. Do you really trust that God cannot tell a lie? But you're going to have to fight for your promise. What God says to you, it doesn't, isn't automatically just going to come to pass. If you keep going on, and that's what you'll find for the next few verses, is God gives people a promise, but they got to fight for it. They got to fight for it. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. So Isaac, before he died, he's blessed Isaac and Jacob, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob believed so much in the blessing that he stole it from his brother. He connived. His whole life he built up. I wish I was the firstborn. I wish I was the firstborn because I would get that birthright blessing. But that honestly took a little bit of faith to believe that that birthright blessing really came from being the firstborn. So Esau, you find out later, really didn't care about it. So it wasn't a big deal to him. Yeah, he's a firstborn, but he just didn't have a lot of faith himself. So by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Because at this point, Jacob was in the land of Egypt. And when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. Remember, at this point, Joseph was the second in command of Egypt. He was the second in command of Egypt, and Jacob now is worshiping. He's about to die, so he blesses both the sons of Joseph, and he worships leaning upon the top of his staff. He's just worshiping God, knowing that, you know what? Why was he holding the staff? Why was he walking on the staff? Remember, he got in a wrestling match with God. And he tried to take the blessings of God. And he thought he had something to do with the blessing. That's why I was talking about Cain and Abel. Sometimes you start to think you have something to do with God blessing you. That it's your own ingenuity. It's your own intellect. It's your own grit and hard work that earns the blessing of God. And so he was trying to connive to get that blessing from God. And so he lied to his dad. He got that blessing. But then he spent the next 20 years in hell from Laban lying to him left and right about his wages and about his marriage and about all kinds of things. A family member just taking advantage of lying to him, getting rich off of this blood, sweat, and tears. And the guy didn't even care. The guy didn't even bother the guy. Didn't even act like it didn't even bother his conscience. God had to warn him not to go back and kill Jacob because he was going out to go after him after he just made him rich. But after he had been lied to for 20 years, and then he has that wrestling match with God. And that all night he's praying, God, I got to go meet my brother who I haven't seen in 20 years. And last time I saw him, like my mom said that, yeah, you leave until I send word for you when your brother's wrath has gone away. And he never heard from that. So anyways, he's praying. So he sends his family before and he's praying all night. God, please, please help me. I got to see Esau. I know he's tougher than me. I know he's stronger than me. I know he's mad at me, but God, please help me. God, you're the one that's calling me to go back home. But some guy grabs a hold of him. And so he probably kissed his family goodbye. He probably didn't know. I mean, he sends his family in two different bands and his servants and giving gifts. He's in the trial of his life. He probably doesn't know for sure if he's really, he believes that God's calling him back, but sometimes there's trials along the way. So he doesn't know how it's all going to work out. So then the next thing he knows, he's being attacked by someone. And so he's wrestling. I'm sure he probably thought it was someone that was going to rob him. Someone was going to try to, he was fighting for his life, I'm sure. But at some point he realized that it was not a person he was fighting. It's not a person he was wrestling with. And then he grabs a hold of him and he won't let go. And the angel of the Lord says, let me go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And he asks, well, what's your name? And then he didn't want to say, because his name always was one of those names that was a little awkward whenever you said it. And so he's a trickster, a deceiver. So he says, I'm Jacob. And he says, you're no longer Jacob. You're no longer Jacob, but you're Israel, because you have power with God. You're not a liar anymore, Jacob. And so God changed his name, and then he touched the hollow of his thigh and he limped for the rest of his life. So he's sitting there, and remember, he thought that his son Joseph, He thought he was never, he said, my gray hair head will go down to the grave in sorrow when the coat of many colors was brought back to him because his brothers had sold him into slavery. Joseph was down. He was daddy's favorite boy. And then he had the dreams about his brothers bowing down and his the moon, the stars, everyone. But then the next thing you know, he's got the coat of many colors. His brothers take a goat, put blood all over it, give it, says, let's kill him and see what happens to his dreams. And so his dad, when he sees the bloody coat, he says, my gray head will go down the grave in sorrow. And so he didn't get to see Joseph for at least 15 years, more than that. He was down in Joseph, I think, or for 15 years before he got out of the dungeon. And then he had the 7 years of plenty. So it's almost 20 years. He doesn't get to ever see his son. And he thinks he's dead. He thinks he's gone. And I'm sure he knew that God spoke through dreams. Remember, Jacob was raised by Abraham. Jacob was raised by Isaac. God spoke to Abraham in so many dreams. I'm sure he heard. And he's like, I know the way God's talked to me in dreams. I had the Jacob's ladder. Like God, and I really thought that I just confusing. Like I know God, I really thought that God spoke to Joseph. I really did. I could see the hand of God on that young man's life. I don't understand it. I don't know. I guess I'm not going to understand on this side of glory. But then he's down. That's what he's saying. He's leaning upon his staff because he realized he had nothing to do with it. That he understood that it's going to be so many as the stars of the sky and multitude of sand by the seashore. And he's down in Egypt. His son is almost the ruler of Egypt. And he's just limping on his staff worshiping. I had nothing to do with this, God. It was all in your plan. It's all in your plan, God. I'm just so good. I'm just so glad to be a part of the family of God. So glad to be a part of the plan of God, of the part of that my life has a purpose, God, that you, of all the people you could have chosen, all this world, that your hand rests upon me, Lord. And I didn't have a whole lot to do with this, God, but just that you'd include me in the plan, God. I'm so thankful. Praise God. And that's each and every one of us. God's trying to get us to the same place where we realize, look, we're just trying to serve God. We're just trying to live for God as best we can. And God's just going to use us, not because we're some great one. He's the only great one. He's the only one that's worth talking about, the only one that can really save. Praise God. But sometimes we think we have so much more to do with the process of salvation than we really do. Our only purpose is just to stay connected, just stay in the plan, just stay committed, stay connected to the source of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, is what Jesus says. But if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall bear much fruit. You just got to stay connected. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost is flowing through you. You just bear much fruit. You don't have a lot to do with it. You're just connected. You're just letting God use you. You're just letting God flow through you. That's all the part we have, is that we made ourselves available. We're not some great one. We're not the best thing that God's ever created. But He's the greatest God this world has ever known. He's the greatest thing that man could ever get their hold of. If God wants to save this city, I don't care how far your family has fallen. I don't care how far your friends see. God wants to reach them, and He's going to use you to reach them. Even if you have problems, it doesn't matter. Just make yourself available. Just make yourself, God, help me, God. I want to be used by you, Lord. I don't know the best way, Lord, but I don't want to see people lost, God. I don't want to see my friends lost, Lord. I don't want to see my family lost, Lord. I make so many mistakes, Lord. I make a mess, Lord Jesus, when I'm trying to reach the people I care about the most, Lord. But please, Lord, in spite of me, Lord, have mercy, Lord Jesus. Is there not a cause, God? Is there not a cause, God? We need a revival, Lord. We need a revival, God. We need a revival, Lord. This world has so much pain, so much chaos, so much fear, God. I know you're the answer, God. I know you can help these people, Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Would you want to walk with a limp for the rest of your life? Would you want to walk with a limp for the rest of your life, just knowing that you got a hold of God? Would it be worth it to you? Would it be worth it if you had to deal with some pain for the rest of your life? Just knowing that God changed you? I would. God, help me. Make me what you want me to be, God. Please make me something, Lord Jesus. I couldn't be on my own, Lord. Please, Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Because remember, God told Abraham long before Jacob was ever around, long before Joseph was ever even thought of, long before even Isaac was around, God told Abraham that, look, your descendants are going to be brought into a land for 400 years, and they're going to be enslaved and beaten, but they're going to leave with more than they came with. And that was prophesied to Abraham. And so Joseph, realizing that, hey, Jacob told me this when my dad Israel told me that, look, we're not going to stay here in Egypt. Joseph's telling, we're not, I may be the ruler in Egypt now or the second guy in command, but look, this is not our permanent dwelling place. Bad things are probably going to come, but God did not call us to stay in Egypt. We have a promised land. We got a land that God promised us. And you need to take my bones out. So, you know, it took faith. Even though he had it good, he couldn't have had it much better than Joseph had it. He said, look, this is not where I want my bones to dwell. I don't want to stay here in Egypt. Remember, I want to be part of the promise. Amen. Amen. Okay, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Can you imagine that? Everyone else. I mean, these are Israelites, so they knew the God of the Bible to some degree. At least they'd heard about him. But they're all just throwing their boys to the crocodiles because that's what the command was, to kill them all. But Moses' parents were like, no, God didn't give us a child for it to be killed. And we're just going to trust God. Even if everyone else is not listening to, you know, what God has told, what God wouldn't want to happen, it doesn't matter. You just do what you know God, what is right in the sight of God. And they just trusted God. It says, by faith, when his coming years refused, they saw he was a proper child, and they're not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he was going to be a very prestigious man. I'm sure he's very bright. I'm sure they were saying, man, Moses, you're so smart. When he was going through his schooling, they were like, you're one of the smartest guys we've ever seen. And he was high up in Pharaoh's whatever the hierarchy was. And he had a great life. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's. He didn't want to be known as an Egyptian. He just didn't want it. He didn't want that title. He says he's choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As soon as you start trying to do the right thing, if you got friends that are if you got in a group of people and they are enjoying the pleasures of sin, and you start to call it out, like, God would not want me to do it. You're going to suffer affliction. People are going to mock you. People are going to make fun of you. That's just part of the process. That just knows you're doing the right thing. It happened to Moses. It happened to anyone that's in the Bible. Like, when you start following the call of God on your life, not everyone's going to be happy for you. Not everyone's going to be excited for you. Because you know what? They know they should be doing the same thing. And they want to brush off that conviction as fast as possible, so they want you out of their presence, so they don't have to feel convicted about what they should be doing. But esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. So he would, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Just do it. I'd rather store my treasures in heaven than all the treasures here on earth. That all the treasures here on earth, they don't mean nothing. The only thing that matters, what it was, Paul says, he counts them all but dung. They don't really matter. None of it goes with you to the grave. The only thing that could come with you says, we are a peculiar treasure. The only thing that's coming with you to heaven is the lives of the people that you impact here on earth. That's the only thing. Heaven will be a much better place if I get my family there. That's why it's worth fighting for. Praise God. Praise God. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Just think, this had never been done before. They had never put blood on a lamb on a doorpost. God was talking to him. This had never happened before. There was no scripture for this. It was just the voice of God telling Moses. And by faith, it says, he did all these things. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. When the Egyptian is saying to do, we're drowned. So, he's just following what God told him to do. God told him to go, get out, and make the bread unleavened, and they're going. And Pharaoh, God hardens Pharaoh's heart multiple times. So God is involved in some of this too. And so Pharaoh goes and chases them down. And now it looks like they're gone. They're goners. Like, they got water on the one side. They got Pharaoh's armies on the other side. People are complaining. And Moses just starts crying out to God. Like, that's what the walk of faith is. You just do. God only tells you. I heard pastors say it like that when he used to live in Bristol. He's like, when I got to go from work, or when he was going home for church, or in the morning he'd leave when it's still dark, he had to turn his headlights on. And it gave enough light to see down the road far enough. But when he got far enough, the light went further. God gives you just enough for now. He tells you what to do now, but he didn't give him enough light to go all the way from Bristol all the way down here. God only talks to you a little bit at a time. Sometimes it's a little frustrating. God, I got myself in this position because I was doing what you told me, God. I was doing exactly what you told me, God. Now, how did I get myself in this position, God? I'm sure it was you that told me. God got him out of it, and they went through the Red Sea. And you know what? I'm sure the thing is, when God finally answers, and you know it's God, they were dancing, they were shouting, they were praising God. And then Pharaoh's like, "Well, let's get him." And so Pharaoh would try to do the same thing, and he didn't have no faith. And that same thing that saved God's people ended up destroying the slave masters. Amen, amen. So, it may not make a lick of sense to the people that are mocking you and making fun of you, but when God answers your prayer, you know it's God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So what did God do? He didn't take them to, let's take the children of Israel. They've been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. So let's take them to a small army first, so they can get a little experience, just like a little group of people, so they can. If it was me, that's probably the way I would think of it. It's like, look, let's be light on them. Let's give them something to kind of build up confidence, to kind of encourage them. Let's not take them to something. What does God do? He takes them to Jericho, like the biggest walled city in the Promised Land. Like, these are the feared people that the most toughest battle. That's what God sends them to right off the bat. Just like David went straight for Goliath. Wasn't some easy little tiny fight that David, when David got called, he had to go to the biggest battle of his life right off the bat. Because God, and I'm sure it's not, you could come up with more examples, but God, when you really start to follow the call of God on your life, you're going to get taken into stuff that is impossible for you to win. It's impossible for you to do it in your own ability. It's not going to happen. Because God is getting this right out, right from the get-go, that you got to learn you're not going to do the work of God in your own ability. It's not going to happen. You're going to need the help of the Lord. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. That's the only way this is going to get done. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You got to get prayed through. You don't need to sit there and study and lift more weights. You need to get prayed through. You need the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you're going to make this. That's the only way you're going to get this. You're going to get this thing conquered. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after their compass 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? So, Rahab, a harlot. But the one thing she had, right away, she started telling the spies, like, please, our whole city's terrified. We know that what God's been doing with you guys and how you destroyed the Egyptian army and everyone that's ever, you guys went through the Red Sea and you guys, but like, please don't let my household die and my family, please save us. And so she knew that God, she just thought maybe it's a God of mercy. And she's like, she was being nice. Now she did lie to the people, the kings of the city or whatever, didn't tell them the truth. I wouldn't recommend lying and just expecting God to bail you out, but it's happened in the Bible before. But anyway, she just believed with the very little understanding she had of God that she knew that God was real. And so God, and she ends up being the lineage of Jesus. Amen. So praise God. Because she had faith. She just believed that maybe God is a God of mercy. Amen. Amen. And what shall we more say? So time would fail me to tell of Gideon. So Gideon, that's another. So I was just saying, there's probably other examples in the Bible. Gideon, he called the army because it says that the Midianites, they had so many, they were like grasshoppers all over. They came to go fight Israel. And Gideon called the armies of Israel, and there was like 30,000 that showed up. And God says, nope, too many. And so God cuts it down to 300. So I tell you, we could probably find more examples. But again and again, God's going to bring you to impossible odds, and he's going to get it out of the way so you understand you have nothing to do with this. It's all, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle's not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And so just one little word there. Time was telling me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. So Barak, which is funny because it calls him into the Hall of Faith. And what did Barak do? I think it was more JL that actually did something, right? But she, being in submission to the leader, so a lot of times we're just going to do something for the Lord. We're just going to do something for the Lord. Brother Greeley may get the credit. The Connecticut District may get the credit. However it works. But JL ended up bringing the victory. But it calls Barak as he made it to the Hall of Faith. Because remember JL put a nail through the temple of a tent stake. So a girl brought about the victory. And it gives the credit to Barak. But he listened to the prophet, Deborah, and I think that's why he's included. And Samson. Samson had a lot of problems, but he definitely, the one last thing he did, he cried for God to please give him back his strength one more time. And God heard his prayer. And the thing, if God didn't hear his prayer, he probably wouldn't have got his strength back. But we hear about it, and we're still talking about it to this day. Because God has mercy even when you mess up. Even when you've thrown away your life. Even when you've thrown away the call of God on your life. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how many sins that you've done, that as long as you can still ask, God, please help me. God, I messed up, God. God, please, just give me the Holy Ghost one more time, God. Let me feel your spirit just one more time, God. God is a God of mercy. As long as you got the breath of life in your lungs, God has not given up on you. God can still use you. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're sensitive enough to hear the call of God, calling out your name, just say, God, help me. God, I need you. God, please use me. God, help me do something with my life, Lord Jesus. That's going to make a difference, Lord. Amen. Amen. And so Samson made the Hall of Faith. Praise God. And you can too. Praise God. I'm sure we'll be talking about it in heaven. May not make the scripture, but I'm sure people will be excited in heaven. Praise God. Amen. So, and it's of Samson, of Jephthah. I don't want to talk too much about that one. But yeah, he won a fight, that's for sure. and he made a commitment. So you got to honor God. You can't say something just in the spur of the moment because you know it sounds good. Sometimes we like to tell God we're going to do all this stuff for him. And then God answers. And then it's like, oh, I can't believe I told God that. He's not really expecting me to do that now. But that's quite a commitment he made, and he kept it. Praise God. And David also, again and again, David, looked like he was a goner, but he just believed, God, I know you're not going to leave me. I mean, he wrote most of the Psalms. He's going back and forth like, God, where are you? And then God gives him the victory. God, you teach my hands for war. God, you caused my to scale a wall. You caused me to bend a bow of bronze. But at the same time, he's like, God, if I had the wings of a dove, he'd fly away. Like he's got serious opposition. He's got serious opposition. But part of that, when you're in the middle of your trial, you're not immune to trials. No matter how much you're following the call of God on your life, you are not immune to trials. But God will answer you when you call. But what did David say? Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Lord, help me, Lord. And thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Praise God. God, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against me round about. Praise God. Amen. So, he was in there. He was in battles that didn't make a lick of sense. It didn't look like he was going to make it out of it. But he just kept, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He was walking through the valley of the shadow of death at some point in his life. But he penned it, I will fear no evil. Because God got him through it. And God will get you through it. You may be in the valley of the shadow of death, but guess what? God will get you through it. Don't give up on God. Hang on by faith. God help me. God, give me victory. God, I need you. God, help me, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. And Samuel and a prophet. Samuel is, it's crazy. Samuel, this is before the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. That's what Jesus said. He even breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. After he was resurrected. Now, Peter walked on water. They cast out devils, healed people. But yet, they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Samuel was still in the Old Testament. But it says that Samuel, he had a reputation that there wasn't a single word that he spoke that fell to the ground. Like, he walked so close with God before people could receive the Holy Ghost. How close? I have the Holy Ghost, and I cannot make that claim. I don't know too many ministers that I could even say made that claim, can make that claim about. And I know some people that really walk with God. But it's possible. It's possible. Amen. Samuel was able to do it. And of the prophets. Amen. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Or what were you wanting, James? Okay. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. That's Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure he wasn't saying, God, you know what? I think this would be great. If I get thrown in a den of lions and they don't eat me, man, that will make a great story. That if all the enemies that throw me there, they get eaten by them, that would be awesome, God. I'm sure that never crossed his mind. He wasn't praying. He was like, God, yeah, let's do this. God, could you get me thrown in a den of lions and then all the guys that want to do me in, they get eaten by them? That would be awesome, God. But God thought about this, and it was God's idea. He just prayed and led him to the den of lions. Don't be surprised if your prayers get you thrown into a den of lions. The devil's not going to be, he walks around as a roaring lion. But guess what? Seeking whom he may devour. But guess what? Daniel made it out. And if Daniel made it out, you're going to make it out. Praise God. You're going to make it out. Praise God. The devil may be a roaring lion trying to scare you. But guess what? If God has a habit of getting people out of lions' dens, tell the devil, you know what? God's getting me out of this just like he got Daniel out. You know it. You saw it with your own eyes. And you're going to see it again, devil. Praise God. So, quench the violence of fire. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure they were not thinking, God, let's go to the... God, could you throw us in a really hot fire, God? Throw us in a really hot fire, God. It'll be awesome, God. It'll be awesome. They didn't think of this. This was God's idea. This was God's idea. Because they wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't commit idolatry. They wouldn't bow down to this idol. And it got them thrown in a fire. Think it out strange. The fiery trial is those to try as though some strange thing happened to you. It's going to happen. You don't want to follow the idolatrous ways of the land. Guess what? You may end up in a trial of fire. But guess what? God's going to bring you out just like he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Escape the edge of the sword And out of weakness, we're made strong. Like we just said, Samson, he was weak as any other man. The thing is, he knew not that the Spirit had departed him. When he sinned, well, he gave away his strength to Delilah, the woman who, the love of his life. And she's trying to do him in the whole time. It's just crazy. You see guys that are in love with the wrong person. And you're like trying to talk some sense into them. It's like, this woman is crazy. She's crazy. Like, you do not. Like, you can't talk any sense into them. But this woman literally wanted to do them in. She's just looking at a paycheck. That's all she's thinking about. And so finally he tells her all his heart. And so she cuts off the locks of his head. He loses. And it says that he thought he would shake himself as other times. He said, hey, the Philistines are upon you. He thought he would shake himself as other times. But he knew not that the Spirit had departed him. And so he was stuck. And he got beat up just like any other man. That all the other people he had been beaten up. Now it happened to him. He got his eyes gouged out. But out of his weakness, he said, God, please help me. Please avenge me of my eyes, God. And guess what? He ended up fulfilling the call of God in his life because God said that he was going to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And that, it says, through his death, he ended up killing more people than through his life. 3,000 Philistines slain in one single feat. Praise God. Amen. Okay, wax out and fight, turn to fight. The arms of women received. But I think I think we're going a little long, so we could probably end there. But he could keep going on. We could keep going on and on. But it's exciting to talk about the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But it's designed to inspire. The reason, so my idea, I want to teach on Hebrews chapter 12. My wife's like, no. And the thing is, I realized Hebrews chapter 12, you really shouldn't ever teach on until you've gone through Hebrews chapter 11. Because Hebrews chapter 12 is going to tell you how the people in Hebrews chapter 11 got there. Because it's not a fun process. It says, wherefore, Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all the people that were in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, seeing that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, that all these people have gone before us, all the trials they went through, and they came out victorious. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it goes on, and it goes a few verses down. It says, for you have forgotten of the exhortation was speaking unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you be without chastisement, we're of all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. So if you can't figure out why everyone else is doing better than you, they seem to get away with stuff and you're the one that gets caught. Well, it's Hebrews chapter 12. You need to read Hebrews chapter. Thank God that God, if God loves you, he doesn't let you get away with all the things your friends get away with. Doesn't let you get away with all the things that everyone else is doing. Like, God, if God loves you, he's going to discipline you. Because you got a call of God on your life. And God is going to use you. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And he's going to get you to the final. He's going to get you home. Praise God. Praise God. So, you guys can all, we'll just pray. Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, and your grace, Lord Jesus, and your encouraging word, Lord Jesus, Lord. Please encourage us, Lord Jesus, Lord. Even, Lord Jesus, when things are a little rough on us, Lord Jesus, even if your love, Lord Jesus, is a little tough sometimes to understand, Lord, just help us to trust the process, Lord, to trust the plan, Lord, and just to believe you, Lord, that you have greater things for us, Lord, than we could ever understand. In Jesus' name, amen.